Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Romans chapter 4. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the heavenly angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Ronald Reagan repeated often a Russian proverb, "Trust but verify." In fact, during treaty negotiations with the Soviet Union, Reagan apparently quoted the proverb so much that Gorbachev complained that he always said it. Of course, the very human truth that "trust but verify" speaks tells how little humanity can truly trust one another. In so many ways, trust gets predicated on seeing, on hearing, on verification. In Scripture, faith, and particularly faith with respect to God, involves absolute trust in God. Faithfulness represents what people do with their faith, with their trust in God. Today, Paul writes to the congregation in Rome that Abraham's faith has a specific direction. Paul asserts that Abraham could not fulfill the law in order to inherit the world. Indeed, when Abraham lived, the law of Moses did not exist. No Ten Commandments.
Certainly none of the multitude of other commandments that were generated beyond the Ten Commandments. The law existed in covenant with God. Biblical covenant does not have the kind of mutual negotiation and agreement that modern understandings of covenant hold. Rather, God's covenant has the quality of being one way. God makes a promise. The people trust that promise in what they do and what they say. People's faithfulness in trusting God's commitment embodies faith. So last week, God made the covenant not to destroy creation with a flood again. God marked that commitment with a sign of hanging his weapon, a bow, in the sky. You know, we know it as a rainbow filled with promise. This week, God establishes a covenant with Abram and Sarai to be God to them and to future generations. That covenant includes the promise that Abram's descendants will be numerous. Paul tells his audience in Rome then and now that through faith, through trusting the covenant promise, Abraham and his descendants will see and experience grace. God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. All of this represents the antithesis to trust but verify. It's all trust. Trust, trust, trust. Trusting God above all things and in all things represents the fullest response to God's promise and commitment. Paul reminds us that Abraham's faithfulness was reckoned to him as righteousness, right relationship. God's accounting for Abraham's faith includes God accounting for our full trust in God. Though for us, the fullness of God's covenant, indeed of all God's covenants, culminates in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul writes that it will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to the death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. God does the heavy lifting. God does the work. Everything humanity can do is in response. Trust, act, serve, invite, pray, love, all represent a small bit of the response the faithful can do in reply to the love and forgiveness, the grace and promise that God enacts through Jesus Christ. Among the faithful, with respect to God, trust but verify becomes null and void. Christians instead receive the continual call to trust God and live in faithfulness, to set their minds on divine things, putting God first in all things for the sake of others.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.